The clock.
From Hollywood, The Clock tonight stars two distinguished players, Lorene Tuttle and Joseph Kearns, and is produced and directed by radio's master of the art of suspense, William Spears.
Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time. Time is a cautious banker who seldom floats alone, and he numbers his depositors in the billions. When you open an account, your balance is always favorable, but discretion must be used in making your withdrawals. Death, on the other hand, is a loan shark whose interest rates are excessive and who inherits from Time the banker those whose accounts are overdrawn. Death will gladly permit you to borrow if you sign the proper notes. But remember that payment is always made upon demand.
Fruit. Can't stand the sight of it. Turns my stomach. You like fruit, mister?
Depends.
I used to like it once. I used to fill myself up to the ears with it. Bananas, apples, pears, and grapes. Now. Car, smoker?
Sure.
Enlighten me up, huh? All you guys are the same. See a nice-looking pair of legs and you can't hold a light steady. But mine ain't bad, if I say so myself, so I don't blame you for looking. I was always careful about my figure. That's all a girl's got outside of her brains. Oh, poor lad. You and the rest of the dopes. Men are pushovers for a gal who uses her noodles. That's what I tried to teach Millie, only she wouldn't learn. Millie was nice. Dumb as she was, I always liked her. We have the 2-to-10 shift in a roadside near Carson City. Hashlingers for 30 a week from grub. I can almost hear her now, calling out the orders the way she used to.
Hey, Millie.
Two on a raft and burn one.
Two on a raft and burn one. Roger.
Oh, need some help, Liz?
No, oh, I'm doing fine.
Oh, gee, what a day this was. I'm dead on my feet.
We'll be off in half an hour.
Yeah. Stanley's calling for me.
Again?
I wish you wouldn't pick on him, Liz. You know how I feel about Stanley.
You're going to marry him.
Mm-hmm. He asks me.
Then what?
Well, then I'll quit this job and take care of our home.
Oh, you mean instead of slinging hash for truck drivers, you'll do it for free for Stanley?
Oh, girls got to get married sometime.
Not to a lemon like him.
You want to be squeezing nickels for the rest of your life?
Marry Stanley.
Oh.
You want to keep wearing $7.98 dresses and $3 shoes? Marry Stanley.
You just don't understand.
I understand this much. I'm sick and tired of wrestling pots and flattening hamburgers. I do it here because I gotta eat. But when I walk out of this dump, I'll graduate.
Oh, Stanley's got a good job. He makes $55 a week, and he has a car. He loaned it to me the night to come to work.
A car? You call that broken-down jalopy a car?
Oh, Liz. Please.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't rib you like that.
Well, you're just tough, that's all. You don't believe in the things that I do.
Oh, here, waltz this order down to your customer and stop breaking my heart. Millie?
Yeah?
Come over here to the window for a minute.
Yeah? What's the matter?
Take a look at that car that just rolled up.
Ooh, gee. Classy, isn't it?
And look at the woman coming out.
She's kind of fat.
Sure, she's fat. She eats good. Oh, get a load of that coat she's wearing. That's mink, Millie. Mink. You see what I mean when I tell you to be smart?
She must be 10 years older than he is.
Oh, I'll go back to your truck driver in the corner. I'll wait on these cookies. So. She was about 50 or 55.
She had rocks on her fingers as big as doorknobs and a diamond choker around her neck. The guy was much younger, I'd say in his middle 30s, and he reminded me of a mouse. And he followed her inside as if she was a hunk of cheese. She looked around and sniffed with her nose in the air, then walked to a stool at the far end of the counter. The way Skinny wiped it off for her with his pocket handkerchief, you'd have thought the joint was infected.
There you are, my dear.
Oh, what a dreadful place, Henry. Why on earth did you decide to stop here?
Why, I thought you were hungry, Victoria.
I'm not hungry enough to dine in a pig pen.
What do you have, folks?
Just coffee for me. And please make sure the cup is clean.
I'll have coffee and pile a mold with chocolate ice cream, please.
This place smells of onions. Oh, how can you be so irritating? I told you I preferred to dine at home.
I'm sorry, my dear. We'll leave in a very few minutes.
Young lady.
Well?
Please change this spoon. And don't handle the next one with your fingers.
Now, look here.
Let's have our coffee now, may we please?
There you are.
I'm not sure I like her.
Now, my dear. Let's drink it while it's hot. Hmm?
I don't usually like it, but I was so mad I flopped around at the coffee urn to pour myself one. I wasn't so mad I didn't see their reflections in the chromium and notice what he did. He pointed to something behind her back. And as she moved her head around, he dropped two pills in the shower. And I had a hunch that 10 would get me 50. Those pills weren't saccharine.
Well, now, how much do I owe you?
That's 35 cents plus one for my uncle.
Let's get out of here, Henry, before I become ill.
Give me the keys to Stanley's car.
What for?
Don't argue with me. Hand him over. Business to attend to, and I'm in a hurry. I'll be back in half an hour. I kept right behind their gray sedan for 10 minutes while he stayed on the highway. But when he took a sudden left on an old dirt road, I dropped back a quarter of a mile and doused my light. I followed his tail light for another 5 minutes until it stopped near an empty field. Then I backed the jalopy around the bend of the grove where it couldn't be seen and walked up another 100 yards on foot. He'd already dragged her across the field when I got close enough to see him, and he was working like a beaver to dig the hole. I got back in the car, drove back to the highway, and parked near the junction where I wouldn't be noticed. It didn't take him long, maybe 20 minutes. And when he hit the highway again, I followed him home. I took down his address and rode back to the greenery.
Big idea.
I am late.
Oh, Stanley and I had a fight on account of you. You told me you'd be back in a half hour.
My business took me longer than I thought it would, but it was worth it.
Where were you anyway?
Out riding.
Give me back those keys.
What happened to Stanley? Did he leave you flat?
Oh, I don't know if he'll ever talk to me again. And it's all because of you.
Well, I won't be around to give you the needles any longer, honey, so maybe it's all for the best.
What do you mean?
I'm leaving this flea-bitten rat trap tonight.
You got another job, Liz?
Maybe. And although the guy that's given it to me don't know it yet, this one is permanent. About 5 the next afternoon, I showed up at Henry's house. There was a big joint with iron monkeys on the lawn. But I knew I could make some improvements as time went on. I was all smiles and flashy teeth when little Henry opened the door.
Yes? Yes?
Hello, Henry.
Who are you?
Liz Hawkins is the name. But we met before.
Sorry, but I...
Mind your manners, Henry, and invite me in.
What?
You and I are going to have a talk.
Oh. Well, exactly what is your business, young lady?
We'll come to that in just a little while. Oh, nice place you got here.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
I bet you got 20 rooms in this joint. Nothing like a cozy spot to park your hat.
Miss,
Hawkins.
Yes. I'm rather busy. I don't have much time, so kindly explain what you're doing here.
Oh? I came to see your wife.
My wife?
She is your wife, ain't she? At least she was wearing a wedding ring when I met her.
And when was that?
Last night, in the roadside greenery. You came in for a cup of coffee.
Oh, yes. Now I recall who you are. You work there.
You're getting bright, Henry. Real sharp. Where's her bedroom?
Her bedroom?
Your wife. I want to see her clothes.
Would you like me to call the police and have you thrown out of here by force, young lady?
Try it, Henry. Go ahead and try it. Where's the phone?
I will.
Just tell him to meet me where the state highway makes a junction. With number 9? For a second, I thought his eyes would roll out of his head like marbles. but he ran his tongue around his lips and tried to think of something to say. Then he followed me like a zombie as I turned around and walked up the stairs.
Which room was hers, Henry? Is it this one?
No. That one, over there.
Oh.
Oh, nice. Look at all that perfume.
Look, what did you mean when you mentioned the junction with number 9?
Don't you know, Henry?
I know.
It's an old dirt road that nobody ever uses, and it winds up to a field of clover. Ever been there, Henry?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, go on, you're just bashful.
What are you doing in that closet?
Just looking, Henry. Oh, what a load of fancy clothes. Too bad she was such a tub, huh? None of these are anywhere near my size. Why'd she keep her furs?
What do you know? Tell me what you know.
What's in this closet here? Oh, baby, just look at those coats. Stone, Martin, ermine, and sable, too. It'll be worthwhile to get this stuff cut down to fit. Too bad she was wearing that mink coat when you buried her. But you can always buy another one. For me.
You saw me?
Mm-hmm. Your back must hurt from all that digging. Is she heavy, Henry?
Oh.
Right. Take it easy. Take it easy. Why did you do it, Henry?
Because I hated her. Like I never hated anyone. Until I met you.
Watch your temper, Henry. Nothing gets rough. See, I got a letter in my safe deposit vault to be opened when I die. You don't want to let anything happen to me, Henry. Like what happened to your wife.
All right. What do you want?
Make me an offer.
Have you told anyone at all?
Am I crazy?
I'll give you 5,000 to get out of here and leave me in peace.
5,000 with all this inflation? That would just about cover the cost of one lousy mink.
Will you settle for 10?
Uh-uh.
15?
Uh-uh.
Well, then what do you want?
Just half.
Half? Half of what?
Whatever you got. You mustn't rush me. I didn't get through looking you up. But you're in the dough, no question about it. And I'm collecting, as of now. Oh, this day will feel nice and neat. Remind me to wear it home.
Fruit. Get your fresh fruit here.
I wish you wouldn't keep walking through this car. Every time he mentions fruit, I get so mad I could spit. Light me up again, mister.
Mm-hmm.
He even gave me his house and moved to a hotel. Said he wanted to be alone because he was nervous. Now, do you think I had anything to do with that? I was certainly easy to get along with as long as he sent his checks on time. And when Henry got forgetful, all he needed was a hint. And a gentle reminder.
Hello?
Henry?
Yes.
What happened to my mail this morning? I didn't get a check.
I'll send one out to you today.
And another 5,000 this week, doll, for odds and ends.
Are you trying to break me?
Oh, you're far from busted, baby, so don't start to cry. I'll expect the bankroll in the morning and make sure it isn't late. Your coat off and have a drink.
Oh, you know I don't drink, Lee.
And then have a hunk of fruit. There's a whole basket on the table.
You're crazy about your fruit, huh, Lee?
I never get enough.
Oh, I remember how mad the boss used to get when you ate so much at the beanery.
How is the old slob?
Mr. Willis? Oh, I haven't seen him in ages. I'm not working anymore. I've been married for 7 weeks.
Stanley?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you poor dumb dog.
Oh, now, please, Liz. Remember, he's my husband. If you're going to start that all over again...
Oh, relax. Come on up and have a look at my fluff house.
You mean this place is yours?
See anybody else around?
Oh, Liz, it's beautiful. I thought you were only working here.
As a pop wrestler?
Well, I...
Not me, hon. Here, take a look at this.
Oh, what is it? Rabbit?
It's ermine, though. It's ermine. And it came with the house.
Oh. How did you get it, Liz?
It was a present from a friend. Someone died. And I came into a lot of dough.
So happy for you, Liz.
Yeah, well, you're eating your heart out.
Well, I'm not jealous, if that's what you're thinking. I'm not jealous at all. You see, I'm happy with Stanley.
You must be crazy.
Well, he's good to me. And I've got security. That's what counts the most, Liz. Security. Knowing that what you've got's permanent. And no one can ever take it away.
Yeah, there's something in what you say.
Makes a difference, doesn't it? At least you're sure that nothing can change. But I don't have to tell you. You've got even more of that than me.
Not yet, I haven't.
Huh?
Something I overlooked. But thanks for reminding me, Millie. I'm going to let myself in for some permanent security right now. I waltzed over to Henry's hotel suite and found him sitting on the sofa with a bottle in his hand. Lately, he was getting to be a lush because he had something to worry about. But I could never figure out why.
Well, cockeyed again, Henry?
What do you want from me now?
I've been thinking about security.
Security?
A girl's got to look out for a future. You know what security is, Henry. That's why you married your wife. She had connections. Big business connections, and she made you a lot of dough.
Don't mention my wife to
me. Watch your tone of voice, Henry. I might get sore.
I'm sorry.
Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, security. I've been thinking. Suppose something happens to you. What'll become of me?
Who cares?
I care, hon, because I'm the only one who worries about it, so I thought of a solution.
How did you?
We can't get married, but you could mention me in your will. Just leave me your cash and all your real estate. Everything else you can give to charity.
You're crazy if you think I'll agree to that.
And you're even crazier if you think you won't. Put it in writing, Henry, and bring me a copy tomorrow night. Huh. I might do a little talking about the junction rules, number 9. Can I see you tomorrow, hon?
You know very well. I'll be there.
I went downtown on a shopping spree the next day that lasted until after 5. Then I had myself a lovely dinner and went back to the house to meet Henry. I waited until 9, but he didn't show up, so I gave him a ring at his hotel.
Hello?
Henry?
Yes.
What's the big idea?
I beg your pardon.
It's after 9 and we had a date.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Liz, my dear. I had some work to do. I'll be over shortly.
You got that, Will?
Well, no, not exactly.
Now, look, Henry, I'm a patient gal, but don't take advantage of my good nature.
Well, I have a better proposition for you, Liz.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. After all, a will is merely a scrap of paper. I can give you more security than that.
How?
Just be patient, and I'll tell you. I'll be there in about an hour.
I had a funny feeling. I didn't like the way he talked. I felt safe when Henry was mad at me. This new act got me worried. So I grabbed a cab and rode out to the junction with number 9 and walked the rest of the way. When I got to the spot where he buried his wife, all I found was an empty hole.
I've been waiting for you.
What are all them suitcases doing in the hall?
I'm moving in, Liz.
Yeah?
Yes, and you're moving out.
Now, don't tell me you're getting frisky.
I admit I'm feeling kind of spry.
Before you dislocate your shoulder trying to pat yourself on the back, let me tell you I know all about it.
Do you?
I just came from your private graveyard, and I saw the empty hole.
Fine. Then there's very little I'll have to explain.
But you forgot something, Henry.
Oh, did I?
I can still do a little talking. And if you can't produce, you're right.
Haven't you overlooked one little detail, too? Remember that by keeping silent, you're an accomplice to the crime.
Henry, you're improving.
Oh, thank you.
You're almost bright enough now to get your diploma.
I learn very quickly from you.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's compromise.
Oh, how?
$50,000 in the first.
I'll give you 5.
Nothing good.
Then you're at liberty to do what you like.
You're bluffing, Henry.
And so are you.
I settle for 10.
5, Liz, not a penny more.
Start writing up a check.
Well, I must admit I admire your attitude. You're a realist, Liz, and a very clever girl.
Well, it's fun while it lasts, and there's no point in crying in my beard.
Well, just to prove there are no hard feelings, suppose we end this partnership with a drink.
Come on, I don't mind if we pop in.
All right. Just stay where you are, my love. I'll mix them myself.
Oh, Henry was subtle, as subtle as a kick in the head. I could almost see him reaching for his pills before he touched the bottle. I knew the Mickey he was trying to fit me would last for a long, long time. put the glasses on the table when he came back to the room. One for him and one for me. Only something new had been added to mine.
Now, what will we drink to, Liz?
How about your wife?
Oh, that's too morbid.
Let's drink to us.
Oh, splendid idea. We've had such a pleasant association. Incidentally, I brought you a going-away present.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. A steamer basket of fruit. You will find it in the hall.
Well, I was sweet of you, Henry.
Oh, not at all.
You must have been pretty sure I'd be on my way.
I was.
Well, I can be as big a sport as you are, Henry, so I've got a present for you.
Have you?
Remember that letter I told you I wrote? The one that accused you of murder in case anything happened to me?
Well?
I'm going to let you have it.
Oh, you're very generous, my dear.
I took it out of my safe deposit box. We'll find it in the desk.
The study desk?
That's right, Henry, on the left-hand side. You can make out the check while you're there. Oh, you men are smart. You're weasels when it comes to business. And jerks and everything else. When Henry came back to the room with the letter in his hand, he was grinning from ear to ear. And when he gulped his highball and I finished mine, the poor chump nearly laughed in my face. Now, about that check, Henry.
Oh, yes, the check. Yeah, here you are, $5,000. Is that correct?
That's the bargain.
Too bad you won't get a chance to spend it, Liz.
Why not?
Because you'll never leave this house alive.
Are you kidding?
That drink you just had contained poison, my dear. It'll shortly be taking effect.
And how do you feel?
Me? Why, I feel wonderful.
Henry, you're a bad actor. You just can't be trusted at all. That's why I switched our drink on while you were out of the room.
You what?
How long does it take that stuff to work, Henry?
You
I wouldn't want to hang around here all night.
Why, you rotten...
Hurt much, Henry?
Get him, Doc.
Henry. You might give my regards to your wife. I took my time about getting what I wanted because I don't like to miss a trick. After I lugged all the furs downstairs and packed his wife's jewelry, I went through Henry's clothes. He had $2,000 in cash that he wouldn't need anymore, so I helped myself. Then I took his ring and his diamond cufflinks and started to leave. As far as Henry was concerned, they'd listed as a suicide, but I didn't care either way. I'd be in Mexico before they found the body. Henry had his car parked in front of the door, which was something I counted on. I couldn't lug all that stuff away in my hand. As I passed through the hall, I saw the basket of fruit, and I couldn't resist taking that, too. As I drove away, I was feeling pretty good, and I started to count the chips. I figured I could get rid of the furs and jewelry for 50 grand, and I'd sell the car to some Mexican fence. I felt so safe, I didn't even worry when I saw the light, and they stopped my car and waved me to the side of the road. What's the matter, mister?
State inspector, ma'am. Mind if I look inside your car?
What for?
Oh, just regulations. Now, what's this?
Well, what does it look like? It's a basket of fruit.
Uh-huh. Any more fruit?
No.
Let's have the key to your trunk, please.
My trunky?
Now, hand it over, please.
Well, I don't know what you want, but make it snappy. I don't got much time.
Jim, come back here.
Okay, lady. Get up.
The idea's a gun.
You've got another passenger in the trunk of your car, and she happens to be dead.
It was Henry's wife, all right. Dope had stuck her in the trunk after he dug her up. With all her junk in my suitcase, they naturally pinned it on me. Say, what station are we coming into?
Ours, baby.
Easy, mister. Don't pull those handcuffs like that. Remember, you're tied to me.
Peanuts, get your pears, apples here, grapefruit.
Now you know why I hate the sight of apples so much. I was eating one when I was stopped by that cop on the California border. How was I to know you couldn't bring any fruit across the line?
From From Hollywood, The Clock is produced and directed by William Spear, and tonight's stars Lorene Tuttle and Joseph Kearns. This evening's play was written by Lawrence Klee. The Clock theme was composed by Bernie Green. Our musical director is Basil Anthem. Next week, same time, listen to...
The Clock.
Who knows? You might be telephoned to name the mystery melody on Stop the Music, coming up in just one moment over this ABC station. This program was transcribed. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.